Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbontoni. Someone returned a library book that was 90 years overdue.
And Tony Kornheiser, my bad. I checked it out when I was six.
We got two generations of people who don't even know what borrowing a book from the library is.
Right. Do you remember how it felt when you had an overdue book?
Yes.
And you knew it was going to cost you
couldn't sleep.
Money, and you had to ask your parents
guilt,
for the money.
The stress.
I remember this.
Yeah, I remember it too.
Now there are no libraries now. People just read on the palm of their hands everything. I mean, nobody goes to libraries.
Yeah, it's all on
TikTok. Libraries are great.
TikTok, that's all.
Just great. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Max Scherzer is back, James Harden is gone, and Troy Aikman joins us for 5 good minutes. But we begin today with the Phillies crushing Arizona last night, 10-0, behind a first inning home run by Trey Turner, and then two more by Kyle Schwarber. The Phillies are now up 2-0 as the series moves to Arizona. Wilbon, the old baseball adage is momentum is tomorrow's starting pitcher.
Yeah.
But does this feel different to you?
Before I answer that, and I will, let me just say it's 1-0, it's 2-0, it's close, it's tight. I think, okay, this could actually be a game. And then balls start flying out of the park. I can't even get mad because my old neighbor, Kyle Schwarber, is the one who's launching them out of the ballpark. And at some point, once it got to, I don't know, 5 or 6, I just stood up, I turned the TV off, and I set aside a box of Pro V1s because I made that stupid bet yesterday where I said that the Arizonas would win, and they couldn't get close. Tony, it does feel different, except you and I know better. I mean, for people who just get caught up in the hype of the moment, which is 90% of the people who talk about these things, they're going to declare it over. You and I have covered these things. We've seen these things. The venue changes. It goes for 3 games now to Arizona. It is not as raucous in Arizona as it is in Philly. It just isn't. It's not the home field advantage there that it is in Philly. But I'm not going to just say it's over yet. If it goes 3-0, it's over. So it feels bad if you're Arizona. But let's see what happens in game 3. It's a 2-3-2. They got 3 games in Arizona if they can win one.
Let me just please sit here and say I believe I had that, and I'm going to enjoy the golf balls. But don't give me golf balls you've got. Go out and get a new box of Pro V's and imprint on them, if found, return to Michael Wilbon.
Oh, no.
That's what I want on
every golf
ball.
I don't want people thinking I was that wayward.
Yeah, that's what I want. let me go to this. I sat here yesterday, and I said to you, the Phillies lineup 1 through 8, they can all hit it out, 1 through 8. But if you want to just go 1 and 2, Schwarber and Turner – that's fine. And I don't, please, and I know you wouldn't do this, please don't tell me, well, Schwarber bats under 200. So what? That doesn't matter. He's a game wrecker. It is devastating when he hits home runs. Look what it has done to the Arizona pitchers. Presumably their best two starters have now allowed 6 home runs in fewer than 11 innings. I mean, I don't really see this changing, but I'll give you the fact that it goes to Arizona. But I'll also tell you this, Mike. Even if they win 3 in Arizona, now it comes back to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Phillies don't lose. They are now 6-0 this year against National League teams, 5-0 last year against National League teams, and they've out-homered those teams 35-9.
Tony, I'll only say this. You and I have covered series where red-hot teams bashing the ball out of the ballpark get shut down
it can
once,
change.
And the whole thing can change with great pitching in October. That's why October baseball is different and special. By the way, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying, can we just watch game 3?
Mike,
let's just watch.
Mike, 1, 2, 3 in the lineup.
Yeah.
Schwarber, Turner, Harper.
Ooh.
They have 10 home runs in 8 playoff
killing
games.
It,
they're killing it.
My man Schwarber. I will never root against Kyle Schwarber, as you know. The ALCS resumes tonight in Arlington, Texas. Max Scherzer, your boy, will be on the mound for the Rangers after a shoulder strain sidelined him for the last month of the season. Even when healthy, Scherzer's been up and down this season. Tony, do you expect Max Scherzer to be Max Scherzer warrior god tonight?
Yeah. I love him. I absolutely love Max Scherzer. And I do expect Scherzer to be Scherzer in this sense. It's either going to be 3 home runs in the first inning, or maybe he'll go 5 and only allow 3 or 4 hits, something like that. He's had these wild swings all year. He had them last year as well. I'm pretty sure the last game he started for Texas, he went 5 1/3 scoreless, But the game before that, which I believe was against Houston, he allowed 7 earned runs in 3 innings. Mike, he's going to be on a pitch count. It's probably going to be about 75. The pitches mount up early with him because he goes for strikeouts and he doesn't want to strike out in 3 pitches. He wants to be precise and show you what an artist he is. If you ask me the truth, I will tell you, I think he'll go out fairly early and I think that there will be runs scored. But I'll also say, they're doing this, Mike, not for tonight as much as for the World Series. Can he pitch? What if he has to pitch game 7 in Houston? This is a test drive, Mike. This is a test drive.
Tony, I'm only going to disagree with you. As you're the Max Scherzer correspondent on this show. I'm only going to disagree with you to this extent. Pitch count? Huh? Max Scherzer's got night. There's no reason for him to look ahead. He's not trying to avoid Tommy John. He's Max Scherzer. If he's on, and there's a 50-50 chance he'll be on and spectacular and give up nothing, leave him out there until his arm literally falls off, because that, you know, is what it would take, because he is such a gamer, to get him out of there. If he's on, you let Max Scherzer stay out there until he tells you, Skip, come get me. What are you holding him back for? A pitch count? He's not some 24-year-old who could only make 8 starts a year and do it every 7 days. And that ain't Max Scherzer.
Yeah, you're holding him out because you'd like to have him in the World Series. Well, but if Bruce Bochy sends out a pitching coach, it's because he's afraid to go yank Scherzer himself.
He should be.
Let's move to James Harden, who is AWOL at the moment. Mm. He wasn't at the 76ers practice today. Hasn't been around the team since Sunday. Harden is said to be in Houston, and he is said to be frustrated at the lack of progress to trade him to the Clippers. Yes, he specifically wants to go to the Clippers. Wilbon, where does this go from here?
Nobody who's been around or near the league, certainly not in it, for the last 15 years, is surprised to hear that James Harden's in Houston. Nobody's surprised to hear that. Tony, I've been saying since the summer, the Philadelphia 76ers have to trade James Harden, period. You can't have him there. Now, here's what Daryl Morey could be doing by being patient. And Daryl, unlike a lot of GMs, often waits things out. And I'm not going to say he gets lucky. I'm going to say he waits it out and he gets it right. But here's why you will wait it out, perhaps. Because a team that is figuring to be a contender could have an injury early on or just get off to a bad start. And they could say there's about 12 of those teams out west. They all think they're going to be contenders. And they could get off to a bad start and say, my God, we got to do something. We got to shake it up. And they could overpay for James Harden. And Morey could be on the benefiting end of that. But you got to trade him, Tony. You can't have him. No. The Philadelphia players know he quit on them. He quit on them in game 6 and 7. They can say whatever they want to say about practice and him being there and him being a good soldier. No. You, if you're Philly, have to ship James Harden's butt out of town soon.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, I agree they have to make a trade. I'm sure this happens in other sports and other leagues, but it seems to happen in the NBA more, that players not only demand to be traded, but they tell you this is exactly where I want to be traded, like it's some sort of game show. We saw this with Damian Lillard a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. He said he wanted to leave Portland and go to Miami. Now, when he was traded to Milwaukee, he seems perfectly happy. He does. I understand why Harden wants to go to the Clippers. He wants to play with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. And if that happens, Mike, I got to read you this list. James Harden will be the all-time leader for great players to play with without ever having won a championship ring. Because he has played with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony and Joel Embiid. And now it'll be Leonard and George. What does that say about Harden? It says he's the cooler. He's the cooler. No, not them.
Tony, listen. Harden is just an example of a guy. Yes, you can say the modern NBA, and it's just passed Harden by. He can still light you up. We saw those 40-plus point games
talented.
In the playoffs. And then he goes out there and he has nothing. He had nothing when it mattered. He had nothing in pro sports when it mattered. When you have to help your team win, you're up 3-2 in a series, and you got a home game, and you quit on your team, and that's what the players around there believe he did. They believe he quit, and I trust in what they say. So you got it. Harden, what are you doing? You have to get him gone. The problem, Tony, is teams don't want him anymore. If you got young players on your team, you don't want Harden. And Harden wants money. Who is going to give Harden 2 or 3 years, multiple years at $40 million per? Why would you do that? It's a problem.
Let's take a break. Coming up, Bryce Young has had a rough rookie season. So did Troy Aikman. So we'll ask Troy how he made it through that experience.
Man, that was rough. I think Troy was over. We'll also ask him whether Micah Parsons remind him of someone he once faced by the name of Taylor. 56.
James Harden played nice for a while. He showed up at practice for a while, and now he's breaking the furniture.
Yeah. Pardon the Interruption is presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by Truly, part of Happy Hour.
Let's dig into some NFL questions with ESPN Monday Night Football analyst and Hall of Fame quarterback Troy Aikman. I'm going to read this one because it's long. Like you, Bryce Young was the number one overall pick in the draft, and like your Cowboys, his Panthers have been winless through their first six games. Your Cowboys, hate to bring up bad memories, finished 1-15 in your rookie year. Obviously, that all changed. But for Young's benefit, how did you get through that? How tough was that?
Well, Tony, I'd say with a lot of help from Ice Bags because of the way I got beat up during that year. And I'm sure Bryce Young is feeling a lot of that as well. I was 0-11 as the starter. I didn't even win the one game that we won that year. I date myself a little bit, but I had a quarterback coach, Jerry Rome, who was instrumental, quite honestly, and he just refused to let me lose my confidence. And that really is the key. I'm asked a lot, should young players play right away? And I think the only way you really learn is by playing, but you have to guard against losing your confidence. And fortunately, I did not, even though I had every reason to do that. But this is a tough year, of course, for Bryce. And you know, we're so quick to judge these quarterbacks on whether or not they're franchise quarterbacks after just a few games. And I hope that everyone's patient with him.
Troy, you called the Monday night game in which, of course, the Cowboys beat the Chargers. And at the end of that game, there were two plays. This is going to sound like blasphemy from somebody who's old enough to know better. But I'm going to bring up the name Lawrence Taylor because Micah Parsons, to me, on those two plays, won a sack. One where he forces the ball out in the interception. It looked like Lawrence Taylor to me. Am I being insane? Is my memory going? You played against the great Lawrence Taylor. What do you see when you see Parsons?
No, I think it's the highest compliment, Michael, that you can give to Lawrence Taylor when you compare anybody to him, because he is so universally regarded as maybe the greatest football player defensively that's ever played. And, you know, I think the comparisons, however, are fair in the sense that they're both so disruptive and you have to game plan for those guys. The difference with Lawrence Taylor was he was such a unique player at that moment in time. No one had ever really seen a player like that. And then Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick, they were able to utilize those abilities. And we've seen other players since then with similar skills, but Micah Parsons is unique, and he also when he's on the field, he is the fastest guy on the field, which is incredible. The guy's a 4.3 40 guy, and he could play literally any position almost and be really, really effective with it. So he's got a long way to go before he even makes it into the Hall of Fame, But I think that when they do compare him to Lawrence Taylor, it's the highest praise you can pay to him. And I think that the type of style that they play, I think it warrants that.
Oh, he's just breathtaking to watch. The Eagles, as I segue, are coming off their first loss, and six of their next seven games are against the Dolphins, Cowboys twice, Chiefs, Bills, Niners. Man, if you were the quarterback of the Eagles looking at that schedule, what would you be saying publicly and perhaps thinking privately?
Well, I think publicly you give the coach speak and you say we're taking them one game at a time. But I think privately, I think it's a great opportunity for Philadelphia. When you look at it, those six games that you talk about that are really tough games, when you break down their schedule, four of those are at home, including the first matchup against Dallas and then also San Francisco. And that's really important because it looks like it's a three-team race in the NFC for an opportunity to, you know, really kind of create some distance and at least give yourself some head-to-head advantages when you get into the postseason. So I view it as a real great opportunity for Philadelphia, even though it is a gauntlet of a stretch. But then it softens over the last month, which is also, I think, really good, too, for them a chance to get rested up a little bit, depending on where they're at, and get healed up and be playing some of their best football heading into the postseason.
All right, Troy, we will get you out of here on this. It's very hard to go through the day on this show without talking about Aaron Rodgers, so I'll bring up Aaron Rodgers. He seems to be advancing his recovery time. You know, he's a future Hall of Famer. If a future Hall of Famer like Rodgers says, I'm ready to play, should the team say, okay, you make that call?
Yes. The answer to that is yes. I think Aaron's been calling a lot of the shots probably there in New York going back to when he was brought in, or maybe even before he was brought in with some of the players that were acquired. But it doesn't take a football expert to watch the Jets and say that if Aaron Rodgers can play, whatever percentage of that he is reaching to his ultimate health, it's probably an upgrade. And I think just with his IQ and what he's able to do for that football team, if I were the coach or if I were involved in that organization, as soon as Aaron Rodgers said he could throw a football, he'd be lining up at center. And I did see him throwing the football the other night, so maybe he's ready to play now.
Be amazing. Thank you so much, Troy, as
thank
always.
You. Appreciate
thank
you.
You got it.
This week, Troy will be in Minnesota for the Niners and Vikings. Let's take one last break. Still to come, Gio Reyna does something he hasn't done in more than 2 years.
And tonight, will the Liberty push the Aces to a deciding game five? They're going to play game four in that library in Brooklyn, Tony. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Dark,
well,
quiet.
That's your account.
Dark and
that's
quiet.
That's your account. You
yeah.
watch.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Pardon the interruption is presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 67th birthday, Martina Navratilova. Navratilova was already an accomplished tennis player when she defected from Czechoslovakia to the United States in 1975, seeking political asylum. She became a great player after that. She won 18 majors, including 9 Wimbledons and 4 U.S. Opens. Very smart, very outspoken, and she became the great rival to Chris Evert. They played 80 matches. Navratilova won 43. They played in 60 finals. Navratilova won 36.
Wow.
They played in 14 major finals, and Navratilova won 10, and then they became best friends. Their friendship and their fights against cancer are the subject of a fabulous piece in the Washington Post by Sally Jenkins. You should read it.
Tony, if there's anybody I would consider as the GOAT that's not Serena Williams, it wouldn't be Margaret Court, it wouldn't be Steffi Graf, it's Martina Navratilova. And I know it's hard, almost impossible to separate Martina and Chris. I get that because I lived my life loving tennis and loving the both of them and watching them. But I would say Martina. If it's not Serena, it's Martina. That's how I got to figure out the GOAT between those two.
Happy anniversary, Tom Brady. On this day 14 years ago, Brady threw an NFL record 5 touchdown passes in one quarter in snowy Foxborough as New England buried Tennessee 59-love. In a span of less than 10 minutes in the second quarter, Brady connected with Randy Moss on back-to-back touchdowns, then with Kevin Falk, then twice with Wes Welker. Brady ended up with 6 touchdown passes as he threw a third one to Moss in New England's first drive of the third quarter before Brian Hoyer came on in relief. Just as a footnote, Mac Jones has 5 touchdown passes so far this season. Oh, one more footnote, Bill Belichick 26-30 since Brady left.
One more footnote, a weather footnote. That snow was out there in the middle of October? It's an anniversary? And there was that much snow on the field in October? What's going on? It must be global warming.
Boston gets cold early. Happy trails to more than 2 years without scoring a Team USA goal for Gio Reyna. The soap opera between the Reyna family and United States men's national team coach Greg Berhalter was on pause long enough for 20-year-old Gio Reyna to score 2 goals last night in Nashville in a 4-0 rout of Ghana. Reyna scored the first and last goals, his first USMNT goals since 2021. After the game, Berhalter spoke glowingly of Reyna. Reyna didn't speak at all. Reyna has never publicly spoken about his relationship with Berhalter. In other soccer news, Lionel Messi scored 2 first-half goals to lead Argentina to a 2-0 victory over Peru in World Cup qualifying. It feels like Messi has scored 100 goals lately, and still Inter Miami did not make the MLS playoffs. What happened?
Do we think this Reyna Berhalter thing is over now? I mean, do we think that this puts it to bed? Or is there just going to be more stuff, more leaks, more sources? Huh?
I think there's more to it. One omission, the PTI research team has discovered that Lawrence Taylor sacked Troy Aikman 3 times, ooh, including the 142nd and final sack of his career. We got to go quick to the
Let's
big finisher. Good. Colts quarterback Anthony Richardson will have shoulder surgery. He's officially out for the season. Your thoughts?
Young and talented, and hate to see him missing his rookie season like this. The NFL extended Roger Goodell's deal 3 years through March of 2027. That makes sense?
Ratings are up. Profits are up. Sure. Adam Silver says the league is considering going back to East versus West at the All-Star game. You on board with that?
Stop wasting my time. Get the international versus U.S. game on and stop the other junk. It's a waste of time. Colorado's Cale Makar is the fastest defenseman in NHL history to 250 points. Are you impressed?
Yeah, sure. In games, the fastest ever, sure. Last one, will the Liberty push the Aces to a game 5 tonight?
I think so, Tony. I think the Liberty win that game in the dark and quiet of that Brooklyn library. I think so. Game 5. It'd be fun to see.
Can you take out books there if it's a library?
Real
We're
quiet.
Out of time.
Real quiet and
Try
dark.
To do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knucklehead. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. And now, to the Sports Center.